Okay, welcome back everyone to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
Yay! And today we are talking about the tandem read in Throne of Glass.
Yes.
So this is book, what numbers are these? Like six and seven?
Okay. Or something like that. I don't know. Empire of Storms and Tower of Dawn.
And we did the tandem read.
Yes.
We did it. And we read finished them together. Last week.
We'll be going back and forth a lot. So I highly recommend reading both of these books before listening to this episode, because we don't have a ton of non-spoiler stuff. We're probably just gonna get
let's just jump right in.
But before we do it, let's do a little fun this or that Sarah J. Maas character.
Maas verse.
Okay, you go first.
Cultane or Nehemia?
Oh, Nehemia. Probably.
Yeah.
I love their Nehemia relationship.
But Cultane's, spoiler alert, skip past. Cultane's death was the coolest.
It was. Epic.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. Manon or Nesta?
Why you do that to me? That's not cool. I don't know. I might have to say Manon.
Really?
Yeah.
I would probably say Nesta.
That's such a hard one. I don't think I can choose.
Yeah, I love our girl Nesta. But Manon, Manon.
I think it's supposed to be Manon, but in my head I say Manon.
I always say Manon. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, you go.
The Witch Mirror or Ouroboros?
Ooh.
Theory, they're the same.
I know. When I read about that part in Tog, I was like, wait, this is giving me Ouroboros vibes.
I mean, they're not the same.
They're not the same. I think I'm gonna say the Witch Mirror, because there was so much more that like we actually got to read about rather than just like hear about when they're in the mirror.
Yeah.
And the Ouroboros, it's like I just saw just my dark side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they like actually go into the mirror, and I thought that was cool. Okay. Lorkin or Azriel?
What kind of question is that? Is that a joke? Do you think I'm a monster? It's Azriel, obviously.
But at this point, Azriel. I feel like we know so much more about Lorkin than Azriel. Azriel is still just hidden in the shadows.
He's still a mystery man. Next book, I get my hopes up.
Oof.
Next book.
Very, very
Elaine's
excited.
Elaine's book. Hopefully we get to learn about Azriel. Okay. Who do you hate more?
Okay.
Arabin or Ianthe?
Ooh, probably Arabin.
Yeah.
Nasty man.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Okay. Last one for you, Emily. Elide or Irene?
Irene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I love both of them.
Okay. Good one.
Good one, good one. Okay, let's get into it. We have a lot to talk about.
We're going to try to keep it brief.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep it brief.
By brief, I mean under 2 hours. Okay, let's jump right in, get this done.
Okay.
So much to talk about.
So
many emotions.
We start off real strong with just Elide puking.
Why does she puke all the time?
Why is there just a theme of vomiting throughout this whole entire series?
Yeah, there is a lot of vomiting, especially from Elide.
Yes. Elide. She cannot handle anything in the stomach. Yeah. In the stomach.
In the stomach. Okay. Our next note is, why does Aeron have the same eyes as Manon? I forgot about that, too. I don't know.
This is a good kind of recap for us.
Can someone please tell us, without spoilers?
Yes.
Maybe we'll find out.
Is Aeron Manon's dad? Grandpa?
We find out.
Yeah, maybe he's find out who her parents are.
He's a distant relative.
Yeah, exactly.
I really liked the progress of Elide and Lorkin.
Yes.
I mean, and then you get disappointed in the end.
And they're...
I like them.
Their storyline, honestly, was so strange, but I loved it.
We're here for the traveling circus moment. Yes,
the circus. That is so random, and it was hilarious. When she was just like, you're my husband, you can, whatever it is, throw swords, and I can... What does she do?
Fortune telling.
Oh, yes. She does fortune telling.
That was so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I loved that. It was like a breath of fresh air. It was just this random, hilarious storyline.
And every time we jumped into that storyline, I was like, okay, what are we... What's going to happen? Because I have no clue what's going to happen. And I loved that Lorcan just went along with it because he had to. He was, like, forced to be...
Begrudgingly. She did not confide in him with her plan. She was like... Hey guys, we're joining your circus. He can throw swords. Let's do it.
I'm going to withhold this information from you and force you to do this.
Yeah.
Also, why did I imagine Lorcan as Severus Snape?
Same though. Why?
That was the image. Also, I don't know why his voice in my head wasn't like this in the previous books, but once I started reading Empire of Storms, he had like a Scottish accent in my head.
I could definitely see Lorcan with a Scottish accent. Also, they are the oldest and the youngest
and the tallest and the shortest, and the shortest. Love that.
We love it.
Elide is,
it's adorable and
so short, and Lorcan is
kind of creepy, but look, we know how Sarah J. Maas works, okay?
Yes.
You just, if you don't want to read about a 500-year-old man dating a 19-year-old girl, I wouldn't recommend these books.
Yes, always, always.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, but we love it. We're here for it.
All right.
Then we kind of jump into Tower of Dawn, and Irene is back. This is when she comes back. The last time we read about her was in Assassin's Blade.
And I knew she was going to come back. I think everyone did. But I so excited to see her back in the picture because we loved her.
Yes.
In Assassin's Blade.
Once Kale got injured, you were like, where's our healer?
Yeah.
Where's our healer, girl?
Yeah.
And then there's like so many full circle moments that we'll get into. Like with the note that Selena gave. Oh, that part was tender at the end. But I want to talk about that later.
Gosh.
I had this in the notes. I don't know why, but I imagined Kale in a wheelbarrow and not a wheelchair.
I'm sorry.
Because I was like, in my head, I was like, are there wheelchairs during this time? I mean, I guess it's fantasy and anything goes with fantasy, but...
I was laughing so hard. You're like, they don't have wheelchairs back then. I was like, what? Why wouldn't they have wheelchairs? Have you watched Game of Thrones? What about Bran?
Yeah, I know.
Because I know we just didn't think about it. Because this is fantasy books, and so it's a totally different world. But I'm imagining kind of like Game of Thrones-esque.
Yeah, same. But in my head, he was in a wheelbarrow.
All right, Kale in a wheelbarrow. We're going to add that to this week's episode.
With no context.
With no context.
Yes.
A wheelbarrow. Okay.
I did have this in the notes. Let's talk about this now.
Okay.
So we have the note that Selena gave to Irene, and Irene kind of reflects back on that note. Do you remember exactly what it said? She said something like, we need more healers.
The world needs more healers.
Yes, the world needs more
healers. Was there anything else on there?
Well, there was something at the beginning, but I don't remember.
Me either.
And then at the very end... Kale sees the note.
Yeah. Okay, but he's seen it before, right?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, Irene hasn't seen it, or Irene hasn't shown him the note before. But at the end, he sees it, and he sees that it's Aelin's handwriting.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, such a tender moment, because he realizes that... they already knew each other, and Selena saw Irene's potential, and Kale could see that and feel that too, so it was like a tender moment for him. Also, Kale's arc in this book, I was a major Kale. Whoa.
That was a circuit downstairs.
Oh. I was a major kale hater.
Okay, same.
But I loved Irene and Kale's story. Same. In Tower of Dawn. Like, I was so eager to read those chapters.
Too. And everybody was hating on Tower of Dawn. Like, everything I had seen on social media was like, ugh, you just have to get through Tower of Dawn because nobody likes reading a book about Kale.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually loved it.
And they're, like, subtle flirting and teasing mm-hmm. when Irene is healing mm-hmm. him.
And they're both so stubborn.
They're so stubborn. And it. Irene hated him. It's like a little enemies to lover moment.
It's forced proximity, enemies to lovers. I love that those tropes are hand in hand in this book.
So also, good. Though, the first time that Kale saw Irene, he was like, she's so beautiful. Like, she is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. And he, like, could not take his eyes off of her.
Aww.
He was love-struck.
Love that. Love at first sight for him. Not for her, maybe.
Then moving back into Empire of Storms, we get a little bit of Rowan teaching Dorian, like, how to use magic.
Mm.
And the difference between Rowan teaching Aelin in Air of Fire versus Rowan teaching Dorian is so funny. He's like, he doesn't care with Aelin. He knows she's tough, but Dorian, he's like, he's a little bit softer on the inside. I need to, like, take extra care of him.
I think Dorian's probably just more teachable, though.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to be as mean.
Yeah, he didn't have to bite him.
Oh my gosh.
Or slap him.
I wouldn't have minded a bite scene. I don't know.
Between Rowan and Dorian.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, that's a no. That's a major
like
no.
Like a Damon and Stefan moment, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
No.
We also see that Dorian kind of gets a hint that Rowan and Aelin are mates.
Yeah.
This is on page 131 of Empire of Storms.
I feel like a lot of people knew that they were mates before mm-hmm. Rowan did.
But Dorian is like, I think they're mates. And doesn't he ask Rowan, like, do you know? And Rowan's
yes,
like,
there
I
is
don't
a
know.
Very cryptic scene when they're in a, I don't know why I'm imagining them in a rowboat, but I think they were in a rowboat.
I really don't remember.
And yeah, it was a long time ago. How many pages are these? It's like 1,000 pages ago.
I don't even know. They're each, like, around 700. A little under 700.
And this is towards the beginning of Empire Storms. Anyways, sorry. Dorian, there's a very cryptic conversation between them, and Dorian's like, do you know? Mm-hmm. But it never really says what he's asking, but...
Yeah, but...
We've known for forever that they were mates.
Yeah, but then we, like, don't actually get to figure it out until the frickin'... And
it's not confirmed, but we all knew in our hearts.
Yes.
But Rowan just didn't think that it was possible because you're only supposed to have one mate.
Mm-hmm. And Rowan already had a mate.
Supposedly, yeah.
Lyria, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Okay.
I don't know if Sarah J. Maas described I think her name is Lyria, what she looked like. But in my head, I imagined her also as a blonde, like, very similar to Aelin.
Oh, really? In my head, she was, like, a brunette, but not super dark.
That's interesting. I wonder if there was a description. Yeah, like, light brown hair. Interesting.
Okay, what is Aelin reclaiming the temple?
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to explain that.
Skip!
Okay. Back to Kale and Irene.
Yes.
I love how they get vulnerable.
And Kale, we don't ever really see Kale or even Irene get vulnerable with anyone.
Yeah,
but
with anyone else except each other.
They get vulnerable with each other. And we see Kale break down. There's a lot of tension. In the healing session.
Oh, yeah. Healing
and the fact
sessions.
That, like, he has to, like, kind of undress and she's, like, touching him and healing
from the very
him.
Beginning. Well, and she's doing, like, massages.
Yes.
And stuff. It's just funny. I was, like, Whoa. Okay. This is, wow.
Yeah, but Irene,
a lot of tension, you guys.
She eventually gets him to open up more, and it slowly, slowly happens, and then there's like a breaking point where he opens up and
yeah,
she opens up. They get vulnerable with each other.
And his healing journey, I actually loved. And the way he has to, we kind of get a glimpse at the end of everything, why he's so closed off.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from the past that he's blamed himself for, and it is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, just everything that he thinks he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He just is so hard on himself, and you see that with his relationship with Nesrin as well. Because when she goes off with Sartak for those few weeks.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like, I forgot they were together. Yeah. I hated that relationship.
Nobody liked that relationship.
I'm sorry.
Because from the beginning, they Nesrin. Explained how they don't have feelings for each other.
Yeah.
It's like just a physical relationship. And I'm like, we don't like that.
Friends with benefits.
Yes. Yeah, we're not into that. They do care for each other. And.
But it's kind of just like filler. Like they don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
So they just like are with each other.
Yeah. So, anyways, I actually love Kale. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I know.
I love Kale.
I can't either. And his journey
is just amazing in this book.
I did not think I would like Tower of Dawn because everyone was like, do the tandem read because you're not going to want to really read Tower of Dawn altogether. Yeah. But I loved it.
Same.
And one thing about the tandem read that was good is when one book kind of got boring or slow, the other book wasn't. Boring or slow.
That's
so
true.
It kind of like switched back and forth.
It did make it very interesting.
That made it interesting. But there was a ton of information, especially in Tower of Dawn. Like there were a lot of
characters. I feel like I've retained maybe 50%.
I don't even know if I've retained that much of it.
But we're here for the vibes. No, I'm just kidding. The vibes were great.
The vibes were great.
Couldn't tell you anything that happened.
I know. The details are kind of slipping my mind. But I'm also like knee deep in Kingdom of Ash right now, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. I need to get further because I'm bored of Kingdom of Ash right now, but I'm only 10 chapters in.
Oof.
Okay, moving on to another couple. What's their couple name? Lysadian.
Ooh, I like that. Lysadian.
That's kind of a cool name.
That is kind of cool.
Adian and Lysandra. We love that.
So much flirting and teasing with them as well. Like, even more.
But then by the end of the book, they're like,
yeah, they gone. Hate each other. I hated that.
I know that it's going to be better in Kingdom of Ash.
Yes, hopefully. Her teasing, though, is on the
She's
level.
She's one of my favorite characters, though.
Oh, if I could be any character from this book, I would want to be Lysandra.
Yeah.
The shape-shifting is so fun.
So
And
cool.
She's cool. Beautiful. She's cool. Her power is really cool. And she's hilarious.
Yeah.
And her level of, like, teasing is on Aelin's level.
Her attitude, the amount of sass
yes.
that she serves back to Aelin is absolutely my favorite. I love their friendship.
Their friendship is the best. I thought at the beginning of this series that Selena and Nehemia were going to have the best friendship. But now I'm like, hell no. It's Aelin and Lysandra.
Ooh, we're going to have to put a content warning on this episode because she said, hey, oh no.
I feel like that's not a swear word.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Also, in Empire of Storms, we're starting to see Aelin's powers a lot more. Just pull it out. Of course we have snacks. We always have to have. Why don't we just like put them on a plate instead of keeping it in the plastic bag? It's a good idea.
Next time.
But we're seeing a lot more of Aelin's powers and the potential.
Can you hear my crunching?
The crunching. At least it's not a pickle.
You know what? I love a pickle.
Mm. Yeah. Bedside pickle.
am I saying? Aelin's powers.
I mean, we've kind of just gotten, a little bit more than a glimpse in every book. And I've just been waiting for that moment where it's like, whoosh, here's her full potential, full powers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've.
I start to see them at the end of chapter 16. I don't remember what happens.
I don't either.
But later on when they are fighting,
we really see.
Wait, who are they fighting? There's so many battles in this book.
So many.
One of the battles, the big ones, where she accidentally gets taken over by the word key, right?
Oh.
And what's her face come? Anyways, that where she explains how she thought she reached the bottom of her power, but then she kept digging, and that was just.
Oh, that's right.
That was just the beginning of it.
She used her power, like the bottom of her pit, and didn't she like Karanam Rowan as well and use all of his power? And then that's when she used the word key.
I don't even know.
The Amulet of Orinth, I think, is what you're talking about. But
yeah. But it just describes how she was at the bottom, but then she like dug into the ground and it just opened up to an entirely new chamber.
Yeah. But if I'm remembering correctly, I think that power that she opened up was from the word key. So I don't know if it is her power.
That part was a little, I'm confused at where her power ended and like the word key started.
Yeah. But we just know that she is very powerful. And we got to see that a lot more in Empire of Storms. And I'm sure we're going to see it even more in Kingdom of Ash, which will be so fun. That's one thing that I love about Throne of Glass series is we get to see everything about our main character, or our female main character, which is our main character. But
wait, what?
You know what I'm saying? We get to see all of her power and like her personality and everything. But like in ACOTAR with Feyre.
Oh, right.
You don't get to see.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Her full potential, and then it just switches point of view.
It's like she gets pregnant, and then everything's over.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
That made me so mad.
Lame.
And the fact that we don't get to, even just a little bit, get to see from Rhysand and Feyre's point of view of the pregnancy. If Sarah J. Maas doesn't finish that series off with a Feyre point of view, I'll be mad. I'll be so mad.
Yeah, we never saw Feyre's full
potential. I would love to see that.
We need to start doing our ACOTAR episodes.
I know.
We haven't done a single one.
I know.
Crazy, actually.
Moving back to Tower of Dawn, there is that moment when Irene sees like darkness and Kale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what is holding him back from healing. And I thought this concept was interesting. You know, the whole idea about like how we can hold emotion in our body.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty much the same thing that's happening with Kale, because he has this like darkness in him kind of emotionally, but it was caused by the Volg, but it's also kind of just his inner darkness as well. Yeah.
This was super interesting to me.
And then later on we get to like really find out what's inside of him, and when he breaks down, why he's feeling that way and why he feels like he needs to hold on to things, and why there's that darkness in him, really. And then that's when they make a lot more progress.
Yeah. And I don't know if I fully understand it, but how I interpreted it was the Valg obviously like infested him, or however you want to describe that, left its mark, but it lingers there and it feeds off of his darkness, like his inner demons personally and emotionally. And so he had to do as much work as Irene in healing himself, almost.
And they were always like, because
he had to face all of his demons from the past.
Yes. Yeah.
And fully face them and stop bearing his demons. And actually face them, and that's how he was able to heal himself.
Yeah, just come head on with them and confront the situation and who he is. And it's,
and he had to do that with Irene.
Yeah.
Oh. And she got to see all of it, which, like, just makes them so close. And did you think about how quickly, like, in those 3 weeks that Nestron was gone with Sartak, they went through so much together, Irene and Kale.
Yeah.
They completely, like, bonded.
Yeah.
That was fast. But the amount of things that they had to go through with each other was very extensive.
Yeah. And that's, like, what, I mean, their relationship was very slow. It was throughout a whole almost 700-page book. And, but that's what makes it so powerful and special between them, because they started from ground zero and then they just, like, grew with each other so quickly and just grew this, like, appreciation and love for each other.
Okay. End of chapter 17, Empire of Storms. One of the best chapters, probably. It's when Manon has to go sacrifice Astrin and instead tries to kill her grandmother. So good.
I gasped. I was like, because you don't know what happens. Like, you don't know if she actually chops her head off until, like, you go to the next chapter. But then I remember...
But then you have to go read Tower of Dawn.
Yes, you have to go read Tower of Dawn. And then there's a bunch more that happens in between that before we actually get to see what happens.
Yeah, before we get back to the Manon chapters.
Yes.
And I was so happy, though, because you love Astrin at this point. From the last book, I think. And now you're like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So.
This is also around when we find out who Manon's father was and that she is a Crochane. Or Crocane.
In the audiobook, she says Crocken.
Crocken, yes. In my head, I always said Crochane.
I said Crochin. Anyways. Unimportant.
I like Crocken.
I was listening to this book overview. Sorry, I'm getting off topic.
You're good.
Really fast. About Empire of Storms, this girl on YouTube. She was hilarious. She was like, welcome to Throne of Glass, where nobody knows how to pronounce the names and the pronunciation guides are unimportant.
It's so true, though. Once you read it one way, you can't, like, undo that in your head. Like, just like Rice.
I keep saying Manon because I know that's how it's supposed to be said, but it's Manon.
It's Manon in my head, and it's Elide in my head always.
Same.
But we find out that she's... I like the way that the audio says it better. Crocken? Crocken. Crochen.
She's Crocken and Blackbeak.
Blackbeak.
So they thought they were, like, no... In this lineage, I get very confused, but apparently... Like, the Krokens were all killed off, so they didn't think there were any living Krokens. And she's basically the living heir. She's the Kroken Queen.
Yeah. Kroken Queen. That's a tongue twister.
Jinx.
Manon Blackbeak Kroken Queen.
Kroken Queen.
Kroken.
It's really an ugly word.
It is.
Blackbeak is way cooler.
It is. I like Manon Blackbeak better.
Yeah. And I love Manon.
I know. This is when you really, really... start to like.
And I'm excited Manon. For Kingdom of Ash Manon.
Oh,
I feel
too.
Like she's just gonna get better.
I know, she already is from what I'm reading, what I've read.
Okay,
we already talked about that, or did we? Did we talk about how Lorcan and Elide play husband and wife? We did.
She's like, this is my husband. He throws swords.
Yes.
He's like, huh? But he can't. Love. It's so funny. It's one of the best parts of that storyline. And then also, can we talk about how he's forced to do the show?
Yes.
And he's on the stage shirtless and all of the townswomen are like
swooning,
gawking at him.
Yes.
And he's just like, all right, cool. He's just
Severus Snape.
You know how those 500-year-old females are? They're just over everyone's...
Yeah.
They're just over everyone all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I would be too if I were that old.
He's like, I ain't got time for this.
But if I still looked great and had abs, I mean, I wouldn't be that mad.
Wouldn't be that mad, yeah. Okay, moving on. If I didn't know Irene was healing Kale, I would for sure think they were sleeping together.
Did I write that note? Or did you?
I think you did. And it's so accurate. We're reading off of our notes, and sometimes we don't know what we've written.
Yes.
But that is hilarious. Because
we write notes as we read. But it's like, they both are exhausted after sessions. There's not really anyone in the room with them. Irene... There's one moment where Irene switches into his clothes because they get, like, so sweaty or something. And she has to switch out of her dress.
There was one healing session where she had blood all over her from her nosebleed. That might have been where she had to use his shirt.
Oh, okay. Also, so they switch clothes. They're, like, always, like, exhausted and sweaty after sessions.
And at first, like, she refused to go into the bedroom.
Yeah.
But they eventually start healing in the bedroom.
Yeah, on the bed.
Yeah. And then they like...
And they spend so much time together.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, if I was...
sessions are all day.
Yeah. If I was that handmaid, I would be like...
What's her name, by the way? Their servant girl?
I don't remember.
But do you trust her?
Ooh. I don't know. I haven't even thought about that.
She saw way more, I think, than we even think she saw.
Yeah.
She was so stealthy and quiet. And anytime Irene was like, I need this and this, she was like automatically there. And I'm like, where did she even come from?
Yeah. Like the tea. Go grab my tea. She's like, I already have it.
So she knows a lot. And I'm worried. I was worried that she was going to be like a traitor in the end and give him up. But I don't know.
I haven't even thought
about that.
Nothing
ever happened with her.
Honestly, it would be kind of fun to be a servant because they always get to see a lot more than... you would think. Mm-hmm. And they're not supposed to talk about it or else they'd probably get beheaded, but the drama that you would see mm-hmm. being a servant for a lord or a lady.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
There the part where Kale wiggles his toes, there needs to be a meme of that. And him just, like, wiggling his toes and getting so giddy about it.
I got so excited when he started wiggling his toes.
And he didn't want to tell anyone. He was like, this is my secret for the moment. I get to wiggle my toes. I would actually be very excited, though,
it's
too.
It's cute, yeah.
It's a big turning moment. Ooh, this part. Okay, was this... I don't remember... if it was the part that I'm thinking, but they throw a birthday party for Irene. Is this when she comes?
The first time she, like, gets dressed up in a dress, and I think it's the blue dress. This is earlier on. It was an event. There was, like, a town holiday or something. And uh-huh. So they, like, throw a big dinner and everything.
And she gets all done up in a pretty dress, and mm-hmm. everybody is just, like, in awe because she's so beautiful.
Every female character of every book we've read in fantasy.
Yeah. But I imagine Irene as, like, on the prettier end of, like, all of the book characters that we've read.
I love Irene.
Like, I imagine Irene prettier than Aelin. And, yeah, I can't think of other characters that I think. But... I don't know. In my head, she's just, like, drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's probably the type of woman that could take 5 minutes to get ready and just look absolutely stunning. Yeah.
She definitely is a natural beauty.
Yes.
And she doesn't know. That's kind of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Lysandra.
Oof,
she knows. She knows how beautiful she is, though.
Yes. Yeah, Irene is
and
more
kind
humble.
Of same with Aelin.
Yeah.
Irene has no idea, and that's what I love about her.
Mm-hmm. I love Irene.
Love. Okay.
We get to see a little bit of spice with Irene and Kale. And just a little bit. Like, it's just a smidge.
Was this when they were, like, flirting on the couch and everyone was smoking some sort of... Is that what you're talking about?
I don't remember.
Because that got spicy because they were putting on a show for whatever reason. Don't remember why. To make it seem, you know, like they were into each other, but they weren't acting.
No,
They did not have to act very hard that they were into each other.
Yeah.
And
and this is the moment.
Kale had to do a little self-cock-blocking. If you remember.
This is the moment when these characters are like, okay, like, I feel something here. Like, oh, there is definitely...
There were feelings.
A connection.
And they were like, I don't know if it was the smoke that we were secondhand breathing in. I was like, nah. Nah, you guys, it's definitely it's not just that. Your own hormones.
Yes. Ooh. And they're both... Okay, this is what we were kind of unclear about. Kale is for sure human.
Mm-hmm.
But are healers human?
Yeah. Can someone please tell us?
Yeah. So, technically...
Healers have magic.
Healers have magic, but I think they're human. Like, so I don't think they're
fae. Are
they
fae. Humans with magic? I think you're right.
Or are they, like, part fae? I don't know. If maybe you know, please tell us.
Come from fae. But I know that Irene is blessed by the goddess of healing,
mm-hmm.
which is Silba.
I think so.
And is she also related to Silba?
Oh, I'm not sure.
If you're the lineage related stuff to a god, me. Does that make you part fae?
That's a good question.
I have lots of questions.
The depth that we get to in the tandem read is very deep. Like, it is on mm-hmm. Game of Thrones level.
Yeah, and I swear I will never fully understand everything in these books until I reread them at least 3 times.
I know. Well, I definitely want to reread these. Because they are so good. This is just reminding me of this. The sound on TikTok that's like, slay, girl, slay. Slay your enemies.
Raise up your armies.
Take your rightful place upon the throne.
I love
that sound with like ACOTAR for the first part.
It is so accurate.
And then Throne of Glass. I was always like, oh, Throne of Glass just can't be ACOTAR ever. Like, no, like, it's not better. And then now, being almost finished with it, I'm like, bruh. Okay, I understand. I understand.
There's just so much depth with the characters in this one.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. I loved this scene. Are you kidding me?
This was so good. And the memes and fan art for it.
I need more. But Aelin waiting at Captain Rolf's desk to try to get him to join her.
With her feet up on the desk.
Posse. Oh my gosh, the audacity.
Mm-hmm.
The audacity, Aelin. It's unmatched.
Well, and they kind of trick him because Lysandra shifts as Aelin.
Right.
So there's like two of her.
So it was actually Lysandra at first.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, I'd like you to meet. And so it's Lysandra, and Captain Rolf recognizes her as Selena.
Yes.
Because that's who he remembers her as. What are you doing here? Last time I saw you, you ruined everything. Like, he's thinking the same thing. Like, the audacity to come back here in my office with your feet on my desk after what you did last time. And then Lysandra is like, I'd like you to meet the Queen of Terrasen. And Aelin walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And Lysandra shifts. And he's like, was it
not Aelin at the desk? It was Lysandra?
I'm pretty sure it started with Lysandra, because I remember her being
hilarious.
Like...
hilarious.
It could have been... I might be getting it mixed up.
Either way, they're both so iconic.
Aelin says, I want you to meet the Queen of Terrasen, and then Aelin walks in.
They're so funny.
It's so funny.
Like,
they just are so unserious.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And their plans... I feel like Aelin and Lysandra are always, like, in on the plan together, and they leave the men out.
Not even Rowan.
Yes, every time. They always leave the men out.
It's because they're equally crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, nobody else is going to agree to this outlandish plan except us.
Yeah.
So let's just not tell anyone. I love it.
The memes of that, too, are hilarious. Like, because... I don't remember what this clip is from, but there's like Ryan Gosling.
Because I know what you're talking about.
Ryan Gosling is laughing. Then it's like anytime Aelin makes a plan and Ryan Gosling is Rowan, because he's like, that was actually great. And then like Adian and like some of the other characters are the ones that are like, what just happened? Like, why weren't we a part of this?
I think that meme is so funny. But you can cut that out.
No, I love that because that movie scene is from my favorite rom-com ever.
Oh, is it?
Which is Crazy Stupid Love. It's at the end of Crazy Stupid Love, which is the best, one of the best movie scenes ever. Because it's just so funny. And they're all sitting there after a big fight broke out and Ryan Gosling just can't control his laughter. And it's just the best. Anyways.
It's the best.
Maybe we'll cut that out. I don't know. I love that movie. Okay, moving on. Nesrin's letter to Kale.
Yes.
Was this before she left?
This was before she left. So she wrote the letter. She didn't even say goodbye to him. She just said it in the letter and basically gave him permission. Well, she was like, I'm going to see other people. I think you should too. Yeah. Not like that, but like, yeah. That's like, basically what she said. She's like,
leaving with Sartak for 3 weeks. I'm not holding you to any commitments, and yes. I will not hold myself to any commitments either. And also, I was like, okay, she just gave him the green light with Irene.
Yes.
Love that.
Love that. Our friends with benefits are no longer benefits.
She was honestly his wingman right there.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not holding you to any type of commitment, so.
Can we just talk about the royal family or the family in Todd for a second? Because one
Coggins or something like that.
Yeah, like the Cogginite. That whole family was very, very confusing to me. Yes, and
I'm like, do I like them? I can't decide.
They're Sartok. At first he's kind of an a-hole. And you're like, you're stuck up and too into yourself, but then...
And then he ends up being the only one that we actually like.
Yeah. And then there's, what's his name? What's the other brother?
Cashin.
Oh, yeah. There's Cashin.
Which we kind of liked at first.
Yeah, he's like a major sweetheart. Friends with
Irene, and he's very charming.
And I thought there was going to be like a love triangle moment with Cashin, Nesrin, and Sartak.
But then we didn't like him by the end.
Yeah, and we didn't get much more of Cashin, and I thought there was going to be a lot more. And then there's like the sister Hazar, however you say it.
Yeah.
And I hated this character.
Oh, she is actually She's the worst. It makes you wonder. I'm like, why was Irene such good friends with Cashin and Hazar?
I don't know.
Because they're the worst.
She is a brat. Like, they're all spoiled brats.
Oh my gosh.
Hate them. And then the rest of them, couldn't remember.
There's Davina, who was really... Is that her name?
I don't think so.
There's the youngest sister that died, which we later find out was pushed off of her balcony by the other sister who's pregnant. That was
Duva.
A Valg the whole time.
Duva. Yeah.
Turns out she was a Valg this whole time.
Yeah.
But they healed her at the end. I know, that was so sad and scary, but
once I got to that part, I was like, dang it, I should have paid attention to these characters a little bit better because I don't remember who this is. Yeah. That's one thing about the tandem read is you are going back and forth a lot, so you have to remember a lot. And it took us a while. I think the faster I read a book, the better I can retain it. But this one...
The tandem read was hard.
It took me a hot minute.
Because we couldn't listen to it, because it was a tandem.
Yeah.
And you have to carry around these two big books.
I got a new backpack because I went on a trip while reading the tandem read. And I got a new backpack just to fit the books.
Yeah. We both took trips while tandem reading. So we're committed. We were committed.
We were committed. But it was honestly... so good, like a very monumental part of the whole series.
Yeah,
and like
so many things came together.
Yes, so many full circle moments.
Love
it.
Another battle.
Yes, the war begins. This, I think,
was the one I was thinking of when we were talking about Aelin's power.
Yes,
earlier.
Yeah.
So this is one of the first big battles in Empire of Storms.
They take over the ships.
Okay, they take up. Yes, they take over the ships. Rolf's ships.
Yeah.
And Lysandra turns into a sea dragon.
Which so freaking cool.
Are you kidding me?
The imagery in my head of this, the ocean was so deep. She was massive, swimming so fast. And just like she is in human form, I imagined the most beautiful sea dragon. Yeah.
just with like piercing eyes.
Yes. Oh, and the scales just shining. I love Lysandra.
And then when she like almost dies, and then she at the end of the battle, she's almost dead, but she isn't, and she's on the beach, and Kale is like hugging the sea dragon. Oh, Kale. Did I say Kale? Adian. Whoopsie.
Adian.
You know what I meant.
Not Adian. Kale. Kale just hops over. He takes a hop and a skip.
A plot twist. Anyways, okay, moving on. What's Roland in chapter and page 3?
This is,
oh, the spice.
Is, yes, when we finally get the spice. And
they finally do it on a beach, guys.
I didn't think this was ever going to happen.
You start to lose hope.
Was the smut.
They, like, can't ever find a moment alone together.
No, I didn't think it was ever going to happen.
Okay.
Was this the first time that they, like, actually do it?
Yeah, it is. And I was watching this recap, the same girl that I was talking about earlier. It was so funny. She was like, yeah, so the whole time I was reading this scene, I was imagining Aelin's on fire, right? Literally, she's on fire. She's engulfing them in fire. Fire and sand equal glass. So once they're finished, I just imagine this glass imprint of their bodies in the sand.
That is the image in my head right now, like their bums in the sand.
She specifically said just like
just a bum. Have you ever, Kate, this is so random but so hilarious. Have you ever been in like a glass shower?
Yeah.
And have you ever just like made a bum mark on the glass? What I'm imagining right now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
One thing that we noticed, because we are Game of Thrones fans and we're probably going to do a whole episode of these parallels, but the first time that Rhaenyra and Daemon do it
on the beach
when they're older is on the beach, so that is the same.
I hate that. I hate that they do it ever. I actually kind of like them.
No.
It's so, it messes with your brain.
I know.
Like, why am I rooting for them? But something about, like, I can't root for them because it's her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Incest is not cool.
It's not. It's not.
Should we make shirts?
Incest is not cool, but do we like it?
No, I hate.
We don't like it. Not like, in our
I
world.
I like Rhaenyra and Daemon. I hate that they are niece and uncle.
I know. Ugh. Oh, Daemon is hilarious. Anyways. The looks that he gives throughout the whole thing makes me laugh every time.
Game of Thrones is so good at morally gray characters being likable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who have done terrible things.
Anyways. And when we say Game of Thrones, we are also talking about House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. House of Dragon. All right.
So we find out that Elide is a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Which, I don't know, was that was not a groundbreaking moment for me.
It was for me. I was like, oh, that's so cute. She's young.
And she's, like, been in shackles for how many years?
That's true. Very
true. She could
true.
Barely walk, and she was in shackles. Do you think she's, like, getting it on? No. She's surviving.
Very true.
Anyways.
But once the spice starts with Roland... It just keeps going with every other character.
Mm, true.
And so we get a little... Don't we get a little bit with Elide and Lorcan? Because she
they
tells...
They just kiss.
Oh, they kiss. And then that's when romantic. She tells him, like, I've never been with anyone before. Yeah. And he's, like, nice about it.
Yeah. You know what? I still like Lorcan. I know she's mad at him, but the blood oath, he's not in control of that, so...
Lorcan's character, I go back and forth with... all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, do we like him? Is he on our side? Is he not on our side?
But also the fact that he admitted that he was in love with Maeve.
That just made
your likability go down so much.
Freaking Snape.
Literally the worst character ever. And he's like, I'm in love with her. I'm like, that's gross.
Yeah, that's a major no. But he tells Elide, so... Throughout this whole book so far, Elide has been like, I need to get this thing that I have, which is a word key, to Selaena Sardothian. I need to fulfill my whatever, what was the word I'm thinking of, for Khaltaine, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because Khaltaine saved her. And
promise?
Yeah, promise. Sometimes I go blank and
same.
I'm an airhead. Anyway, so Lorkin tells Elide that Selena is Aelin, and mm-hmm. Elide knows who Aelin is, and right from the get-go, she's like, I am fighting for Aelin, because don't they have the connection?
Oh, Elide's mother was Aelin's, like, lady's maid, and she's the one that gave her, that bought her time to run
to away. Escape. That's right, yes. So... but Elide doesn't know about that, right? Until, like, later on.
I don't remember when Elide finds anyway, out about that.
Lorkin tells Elide that Selena and Aelin are the same person. So that is a groundbreaking moment right. for Elide.
Yes.
Like, light bulb, okay, I'm actually looking for the same person, and there's not two different people, but... I'm, like, trying to find.
Aelin had left Lorkin a little note in the fake amulet that she gave Lorkin.
Oh, yes.
And I don't remember what it said.
I don't remember what it said. But he was so mad. And can you imagine how mad a 500-year-old Fae could get?
Yeah. Manon falls out of the sky onto their ship. Abraxos... knows what he's doing. He knows that they're trustworthy, that they'll take care of her, that they owe her a life debt because she saved Dorian, etc., etc. She's basically dead. They chain her up in a bedroom while she heals, okay?
Dorian... Oh, this is when Manon comes back.
Dorian gets a little freaky. He's like, ooh, you're chained up. What could we do with those chains?
And he, like, keeps coming in to visit her, and she's just like, let me be. Let me heal. Like, you're annoying me.
And he, why? Dorian is the most unhinged flirter.
Yes. He doesn't
the
care.
The fact that he, in the previous book, he literally, the only time he comes out of the Valg is to flirt with Manon.
Yes.
She drops into the ship mostly dead, and he keeps coming into her room like, hey sexy lady.
Yeah, hey, you want to get it on? Let's and get it like, on.
And she says yes.
This is when the spice she's just like, keeps going.
She's like, yeah, sure. And then he freaking, it's like, psych.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. He's like, playing hard to get.
And starts kissing her. Did they kiss?
Yeah, they kiss.
And then he's like, let's save it for later.
Yeah, I he's was like, not now. Ooh.
He's a freaky... Anyways.
He's playing hard to get. But I think Manon likes it. He likes it.
He likes teasing her.
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. We're going back to Lorkin and Elide.
Okay.
First of all, why is she always throwing up? Second of all, why is she the only female character that Sarah J. Maas writes about her having a monthly cycle?
Well, it's because she's human. Oh, so that's she right. has it more frequently than like a Fae would.
True, true, true.
But, okay, a little bit off topic. Since Aelin is half Fae, half human, does she have the Fae cycles where it's like every 6 months? Or is she like in between? Like every 3 months, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. What's... Well, like, that, a little bit that's different. That's
the thing. Sarah J. Maas doesn't write about literally anybody else's cycles except for Elite. And I'm like, why is her menstrual cycle a main focus of her storyline?
She probably has, like, endometriosis or something.
Poor Elite. Everybody else has, like...
She just has PCOS, just the horrible cycles and pain. I'm like,
Sarah J. Maas really did her dirty with her storyline because it just revolves around her puking and bleeding.
Yeah, sorry. Poor girl. But also, Lorkin,
but
like,
I still love her.
Lorkin knows the details of her menstrual cycle. And you know what's funny?
Which is weirdly endearing.
I know. I kind of like that.
You're like, we love it. Attentive male.
Yeah. That.
And he takes care of her and he gets her supplies, you know.
Oh,
and then
so
I do
cute.
Love, I love the scene where they go into the city to get her supplies and she... ends up getting almost kidnapped, and he comes to save her, but she really comes into her own finally and is like, not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
And then we have the moment where the, what's their name? Lalide?
Elorkin?
Elykin? Elykin.
Elykin, okay.
I feel like that's good. Right. Where, which one says it? They say, I will always find you. I think they kind of say it to each other. And you're just like, oh.
And then he says, I don't mind being around you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, the Riz factor is at a 0 out of 10 right there, Lorkin.
The Riz.
The Riz is not rizzing when you say, I don't mind being around you. That is like, it's as much as he can flirt.
Lorkin doesn't really have any game, honestly.
He has no game.
No Riz.
No Riz. That's as close as we get to him flirting is, hey, Alid, I don't mind being around you. And then she's like, oh, no one's ever said anything like that to me before. And then they kiss.
What a gentleman.
The standard is so low for Alid. Okay. But I still love them. Why do we love them so much?
I don't know.
But I don't know. We kind of love them.
I also don't feel like she doesn't deserve, or Lorkin doesn't deserve her.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Kale starts walking. Love this. And I love that the first thing he decides to do when he starts walking is walk over to Irene and just make out with her.
Yes. Oh, she's about to leave the room.
And this is the first time they kiss.
Well, she's about to leave the room, right? And then he's like, I can't let her go. Like,
but we find out that she did it on purpose to get a rise out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like fake being mad.
And in his head, he's like, everything that I've cared about, I have let walk away.
I've let it go, or I've walked away from, and that's why they're gone.
And so that's why he was like, wait. And then he gets up and walks over to her.
And then she keeps walking away from him to get him to keep going.
Uh-huh.
And he finally corners her. Oh, they kiss, and I love it. So good.
So good.
Oh, okay. Aelin killing the 500 Ilken soldiers or whatever just by herself. She lures them to her. This was another battle, right? This is a different one.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of all the battles.
I don't know if it was like a battle.
They just had sent 500 Ilken after them.
Yeah.
And Aelin's like, don't worry, guys. I got this. So she's just like walks into them. And I think this was part of Maeve's plan to diminish her power.
Mm-hmm.
Walks. And this is where we see more of her extensive power. But she basically kills them all in, like, 1 second. And this scene is so cool. Because Rowan just...
one of the moments where we really see Aelin's full power.
And then Rowan just walks into the fire. And I love... And everyone's watching thinking, wow, they have to be mates because...
power couple.
He's crazy to walk into that. And I love the description of it being like,
this is when they have the crowns of fire. Yes,
and
right?
He walks into the fire and just kisses her. And they both have crowns of fire. Oof. Girl, bye. How do you think of this stuff, Sarah J. Maas?
I don't know.
Not in my wildest imaginations.
No.
Anyways. Moving on to... in chapters 56 through 58, this is my note, in Empire of Storms, it kind of starts talking about how this destiny of all of these people coming together who are blessed by the gods. For example, Aelin is blessed by Mala,
mm-hmm.
the Firebringer, obviously. We know that. It talks about how Lorkin is blessed by Hela. Elide is blessed by Anieth. We know Irene is blessed by Selba.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming together like a puzzle piece, and I think it's just going to be explained more in Kingdom of Ash. But I was like, whoa, wait, this is really cool. So, anyways, I think we'll find out more later, but...
yes.
Elide and Aelin finally meet.
Yes.
And it is so tender.
And so tender. Aelin tells... Elide her mother's last words.
Yes. How long has she been holding that in?
So long. But this is a meeting that we have been waiting for a long time. They have both been on long journeys, and it finally happens, and they both kind of get that like resolution in their own story.
Yeah.
Then Ainsel comes back.
Ainsel of Briarcliff, calling in a life debt.
Yes, Aelin sends her a letter saying, hey, remember when I saved your life? Yeah, now I need some help.
Yeah.
And she comes, and she comes with a army.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I got this armada. Do you want it?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
Here you go. Oh, the cutest sneeze ever.
Oh my gosh, my sneeze is so cute. Sorry.
One thing that I wrote in the notes is the reason that Dorian likes Manon is so sad.
It is so sad.
He likes her because she's not human. Human.
I'm only human.
Are we human or are we dancer? I don't even think I really said it like that. Why do I have to make fun of myself like this? Anyway, ruining our tender moment here. She's not human, so she's not breakable. And yeah. That's why he likes her, because he's like, she's not gonna die.
That part ripped my heart out and just crushed it. Because he's thinking, he's like, human women are breakable. And that's what he tells Manon. And then you're like, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking about Sorsha. And that wrecked Dorian. And he's like, I physically can't go through that again. And I think Dorian, in his heart, is softy.
Yeah.
He's a softy. He's a romantic. And so he knows. He's like, I can't handle another Sorsha. Can't do it. My heart won't recover.
So I'm being with someone that is unbreakable.
Yeah. A witch.
A witch.
She's a witch.
Jinx. Okay.
This episode is so funny.
Another kind of tender moment is this conversation between Adian and Lysandra. It's at the end of chapter 59 in Empire of Storms. So they're talking about losing each other and how they just like need to live life to the fullest right now in this moment and be in the moment. And then
great life lesson right there.
Great life lesson. I was like, oh, I love this moment.
You never know when you're gonna lose someone.
But then in the same conversation, I have like beef with you, Sarah J. Maas, for this, because it was such a good moment for these two. And right. Then somehow, I mean, the transition was smooth into it, but somehow Adian brings up, yeah, I'm bisexual. And to me,
you're like, huh?
Yeah, to me, I was relevant? Like, Kate, this conversation just got ruined. Those are both like very, very important moments, but they shouldn't have been put together in the same conversation. Like, he should have brought that up at a different time, in my opinion, because it would have made both of those moments more special if they were separated. But the fact that Lysandra was like, we need to live in the now. And then he's like, yeah.
He's like, I like men and women.
I like men and women. And it's like, what?
You're like, all right, cool.
Like, conversation ruined right there. I didn't like that.
I imagine Lysandra being like, good for you, Adian. Really, really, really good. I'm happy for you.
Just it's like that reel you just sent me of when you like have the confidence to comment on your friend's post. Like, wow. I can't believe you. You have the courage. Yeah, you're so brave. Adian, you're so brave.
I'm so proud of you for not caring what people think about what you say. I love that. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Aelin and Dorian should get married and join their houses. Yeah.
Okay, so
they need. Yeah.
If
come on.
Aelin and Dorian were smart,
if they had one brain, no, I'm just kidding.
If they had one brain cell, Literally, they would get married.
Yeah. Did we talk about this in our last episode?
I don't remember. But
this is a Jon Snow Daenerys moment. Like, yeah. Hello, the answer is right in front of you. Just get married. It's not that hard. Yes,
but Tyrion and Otterlin are the two, like, biggest kingdoms.
Right.
And they could join their kingdoms, join their houses by getting married. But no, they're selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still have your side hoe while joining your houses.
Especially because, you know, Aelin has Rowan.
Yeah, and Dorian has Manon.
Yeah. Okay.
This part.
Moving back to Tower of Dawn.
This part.
Irene's birthday party.
Made me laugh. So they throw her a birthday party. And
which is not, they don't know Irene at all if they think that this is what she wants.
You know what? The image was in my head. I don't know if you have gotten to this part in Vampire Diaries, but they kind of do this a lot.
I've only watched season one.
There's like this lake kind of by the Lockwoods house, like Tyler's mm-hmm, house. Mm-hmm. And they always do like parties there. And that is what I imagined in my head at this birthday party that they threw for Irene. They were just at a lake party, having beers. And
when Irene finally pushes Hisar in the pool.
Yes, she gets so
fed
up.
Finally, someone puts Hisar in her place because she's the most insufferable character of this book. She's insufferable, and she is just, anyways, she's the worst.
She's the worst. Then we get to Kale and Irene's spicy scene, and Kale asks her for consent.
Love that.
We love that.
Love a consent moment. We haven't talked a lot about Sartak and Nestron yet. We actually haven't talked about them at all, pretty much.
We should talk about them.
At this point, Sartak is the only member of the royal family that we like.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that I trust. And we find out, too, at the end of the book that he's the heir. His father pronounces him the heir. And he basically chooses Nestron. He's like, you're the one.
Yeah. So Nestron is like a princess now. She is a princess.
Which I actually love. Because she's, in my head, she's been very tomboy character. And I love that she's
a princess moment. What? We are on the same wavelength right now.
Same page. Say a color. 1, 2, 3.
Pink.
Blue. Okay. Anyways. We find out a very, very important piece of information in Tower of Dawn, which is that Maeve is not Queen of the Fae. She's Queen of the Vald.
Yes.
And we learn that from the... Okay, wait. I just had a thought.
Oh, no.
The spiders? How do you say it?
Stygian?
The Stygian spiders? They are the equivalent of the Suriel. Nobody loves spilling tea more than the spiders.
Yes.
If you start asking them questions, they can't help it.
Yeah.
They want to spill. They have so much tea to spill. It's so funny.
That's so true. There has to be the tea spiller in every series.
Yeah. Why do I kind of like them?
I kind of do too.
Like, I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Like, they're very truthful, but they're also like, what am I going to get in return for this information?
Yeah.
But so, we find out that Maeve is Valk Queen. And I gasped. I literally was like,
same.
No freaking way.
And then we're like, that makes sense. Why she was so desperate for the ring. Because the ring that Aelin bargained back to her
Wasn't it Queen of Shadows?
In return for the Blood Oath, to release Rowan from the Blood Oath. That ring gives you immunity against the Valg. So it's very, very powerful.
But then we find out, this happens in this book, right? Where Maeve is like, I did that on purpose. Does that happen in this book?
Probably.
So
I don't feel like she makes a whole lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Maeve, so she wants the ring very badly. And Aelin, when that happens, you're like, wow, Aelin is, she's holding some power here because she got Maeve to release Rowan. But then later on, we find out that Maeve knew about their bond the whole time. About
Caranom.
Well, know about their mating bond.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And so it was her. She knew about it
before Aelin was born.
Yes, it was her ploy the whole time. She made.
Which I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, holy.
I'm sorry?
Crap. She made Rowan believe that. I just keep saying Lyria. I think that's her name.
We'll just say that's her name.
Lyria is her name. Rowan's
supposed earlier mate.
Yeah, so she made him believe that they were mates so that he wouldn't suspect that he's mates with Aelin.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can only have one mate.
And this made me so mad that Maeve was the hand that pushed Rowan and Aelin together. So I'm like, ugh, now their relationship is tainted by Maeve. Because she's the one that pushed them together in the first place.
Yeah, it's all a part of her plan.
And I'm mad because that ruins it. But what's page 564 of Empire of Storms?
Because I feel like I remember it being good.
Okay, while Shelby's looking at page 564, we do get spicy scenes upon spicy scenes. It only took 6-7 books. But Dorian and Manon's... Wow. That was spicy. But what happens on page 564 of Empire of Storms? I might have written this one down. I think I just thought it was hilarious. We were talking about this earlier. Aelin's schemes. And how she doesn't tell anyone about them because they're so unhinged. And Adian says, it'd be nice to be included in just one of your schemes, Aelin. And she goes, but your faces are so wonderful when I get to reveal them. Yes. And I was dying. I'm dead. Deceased.
Oh, the humor.
No one can beat Aelin. No. She's the best.
She's the best.
I love how unserious she is. Okay, moving on.
You wrote this next
one. Falcon? Okay, is this random character that I'm like, first of all, who are you? Where did you come from? But we learn that he's a shapeshifter, and he ends up tagging along Nestorin and Sartak's their mission. Very dangerous mission. And we learn that he's Lysandra's uncle, because he talks about this niece that he had that's a shifter. And the age lines up with Lysandra, and Nestorin's like, I think I might know your niece. Also, I just can't believe that Falcon was willing to give his life for them after just meeting them. So he was willing to sacrifice himself so that they could get away from the spiders.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang. Okay.
Dang.
We like him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Like, kind of in and out.
Yeah.
Little hero.
Yep.
Moment.
Unsung hero. Moving on. Irene's self-discovery in this Tower of Dawn.
This is a moment where another character accepts their shadow self. And we talked about this a little bit in another episode. I believe it was our Air, Fire, and Assassin's Blade episode. She realizes that she has, like, dark stuff inside of her. And that's the key to kind of fully healing Kale. Right. Like, she needs to accept her dark side, but he also needs to accept his dark side.
Interesting. I didn't really think about that, how her self-discovery was essential to healing Kale.
Yeah.
Interesting. It just goes to show how connected they are.
They are connected. And then this next part, when
it was a trip,
Manon and Aelin go into the mirror. It was so trippy to me.
Trippy.
They were both seeing the same thing, and they were seeing memories
mm-hmm.
with, like, important things that were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was basically Elena showing Aelin.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
Why is Aelin the queen that was promised? And it goes to explain how Aelin was literally born to be a sacrifice
mm-hmm.
in order to save the world.
Yeah, so we find out
the keys
that Aelin basically has to die. Yep. She has to sacrifice herself so she can... Is it to close the worlds or to open them up?
I think it's to close the gate. I don't know. Honestly, this part confuses me.
But it was trippy. And then we find a little bit about Manon in there. And I feel like they were in there forever because there was that other battle that was happening at the same time.
Yeah, that whole battle against
Maeve's
armada happened while they were in the mirror.
Yeah, and they like get a third of Maeve's.
Yeah, that was so cool when Rowan convinced a third of Maeve's ships to join their side.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they just start firing at themselves. That was pretty cool. And then Aelin and Manon finally pop out of the mirror and they're like, oh, we missed the battle. Dang it. How'd it go?
Yeah. How did it go? And then in that battle, there's like everybody comes to help. So yes. The 13 fly
in. This battle was definitely Astrin, the climax.
Yeah. Astrin is like leading them. They come in to help. We also find out that Maeve's ship is named the Nightingale.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, we just read the Nightingale. What a coincidence. And then this is also when the other, like, armies come to help as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ilias.
Basically all of them.
And.
Well, actually after this battle.
Is it, I think like after
right
it's over?
After this battle's over. Because like, then hey, this is when Aelin's gone.
Yeah.
Maeve takes Aelin, puts her in the box. This is so sad. But then I think Ansel comes in after. And what's his name?
Ilias or something?
Ilias. The heir from the Red Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. But before we talk about Aelin getting taken, it's confirmed finally on page 654 of Empire of Storms that
they are mates.
Yeah, Rowan and Aelin are mates. And then
that they got married.
Yeah, they got married. And this is another thing that Sarah J. Maas deprived us from. Why is she not letting us freaking see their weddings?
I don't know.
But wasn't it just Adian and Lysandra as witnesses?
Yeah.
That were there at the wedding. So
they kind of just had to do this. And it was to make Rowan the heir, the king of Terrasen. So the rightful king of Terrasen.
In case anything happened, because right. Of course, Aelin is always two steps ahead and knows what's going to happen. And Maeve is like, She's like, I'm going to take Aelin or I can take you.
All right.
And Aelin's like, no way are you going to take her. So I'm going. And they whip her.
Which is so frustrating because I'm like, just take Aelin.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? Cairn? Okay. The names here. Why Cairn? In the first part of the series, there's Cain. And then Sarah J. Maas is like, I need another antagonist character. What's a good name?
But also, let's Cairn just add just an sounds R. like Karen.
Yes. Listening. Okay, we got the audio of Kingdom of Ash. And it sounds like Karen. So Karen.
Funny. So funny.
Comes to whip her and he's like, take your shirt off. So she takes it off so he can whip her. She knows what's happening. Then they cover her in a bunch of iron. She can't even heal herself. And Maeve releases Gavriel and Lorkin from her oath dishonorably. Mm-hmm.
Which just kind of confuses me. Like, I do understand it. But also, doesn't she realize that that's just better for them?
Yeah, but they, like, made the oath, so that's where their loyalty really lies. So her releasing them dishonorably is, like, they don't like that.
Yeah. Right, okay, so Aelin's gone. Maeve's plan to deplete her power and then take her works. Then after she's gone, the armies all show up and everybody is like, are you kidding me? Like, Aelin planned all of this ahead of time. Throughout the past, 10 years of her life, she's saved so many lives that now she's calling in all the life debts. Mm-hmm. And all these armies of assassins and thieves and It's just so cool.
And then Rowan shows up and he's like, where is she? Where's my wife?
Oh,
and
oh
then
my
he sees
where's
her shirt.
My wife?
Yeah, where's my wife? And you're just so like, oh, they're husband and wife now. And he sees her shirt and he like grabs it and he's like, where is she? What did you do? And he's like pissed off at Lorcan and he's like, why didn't you stop her? Which Lorcan, ugh, why are you such a pussy? Bad moment right there for Lorcan boy.
Yeah. He loses all credibility in that moment.
Yeah. Then we keep going with the story. This is where I was like, wait, who's this character? We find out that Duva is taken over by a Valg. This is in Tower of Dawn. And Irene and Kale are fighting for their lives. In this moment where...
Oh, right. Under the library.
Yeah.
All the crazy stuff always happens under a library.
Yeah, what?
Sarah J. Maas, what? What? Okay. But they find out that Duva has been taken over by a Valg, which we talked about that earlier.
And then this is when I think Irene and Kale, like, send out a letter to Nesrin and Sartak before this, and they're like, we need help, we need help.
Right.
And yes. So they finally come back and they're like, where are they? And there's cats. They follow cats down to the bottom of the library. I was like, what?
Cat,
that is
the
so
cats
random.
Are the MVP.
Yes.
But
cats.
Kate, but okay, really quick, the cats. Side note. Let me find the text I sent you. The cats are called. Why do we send each other so many texts? I sent you this like 2 days ago. R.I.P.
Oh no.
R.I.P. Okay. Bast cats. That's what they're called. Now, Bast is a warrior goddess and a goddess of healing. That's why the Bast cats reside at the Torre.
Mm.
I don't know if they just are named after the goddess of healing or what, but I think that there's some sort of connection there. And,
so they could be like...
There's some sort of significance with the cats.
Hmm, that makes sense.
Anyways.
Why they were led.
Yeah.
Then Kale kind of gets re-injured because of this whole Valg situation.
Yeah, I think the Valg, like, hits him.
Yeah.
And he loses...
And I was like, no!
I know.
We went through so much
work. Because he finally is completely healed.
Yes.
And
finally.
Then Irene basically connects her life to his in order to save him.
And it's like a mating bond, but it's not a mating bond.
Different type of bond, but basically the healer on high explains to Irene what she's done. And it's like when you're playing Mafia and you have two people that are lovers. If one of them dies, the other one dies.
Yes.
And also Irene's powers are connected to whether or not Kale can use his legs. So if she gets too depleted of her magic healing powers, Kale can't walk.
Yeah.
The more people that Irene heals, the less Kale can walk.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I'm like, is she going to have to stop healing other people now?
Oh.
She's going to have
to. I don't know.
She's going to have to do a lot less healing now.
But then if he dies, she dies too.
Right.
One thing in these books that I just random thought, I was like, why don't the witches have witchy powers?
Somebody explain this, please. What? Tell me what power.
Like, why can't they do spells? Why don't they have magic? Why can't they, like, use their ancestors to, like, give them more power?
Yeah.
Basically, they're just, like, strong.
They're just immortal strong and
they have
iron teeth and nails.
Yeah, and they can fly.
And dragons.
Wyverns. So I was just like, I just had that thought.
Yeah.
I was like,
And when you said that, I was like, wait.
Like, why are they called witches? They
why
should be
do
called
they
something else, in my
opinion.
Why do they
not have witchy powers? Where's the potion making,
yes,
cauldron stirring,
exactly,
magical.
When I think
spells,
of a witch, that's what I think of.
And weird.
Like using
chanting.
Herbs. Yeah. Vampire Diaries, Vesmatos.
Yeah, wait. Someone please explain. Anyways.
Then
Kale and Irene get married.
Kale asks Irene to marry him. Oh, don't they I loved get, they that get part. Married on the boat. Yeah, and or then they that get in
Kingdom of Ash.
I don't know.
Oh, that might be in Kingdom of Ash. At the very beginning. Anyway, they get married.
Obviously they're gonna get married because he asks her. Then we already talked about that.
And Irene's about to throw the note away and he's like, why don't you keep that? There might be somebody that wants to see that later. And yeah. I was like, oh, tender.
Yeah.
Tower of Dawn.
I liked this part. So in Tower of Dawn, page 657, Kale is just basically saying how he's grateful for his journey, even though it was hard and it was dark. His hard, long journey throughout mm-hmm. this whole series, and especially in this book, brought him to Irene. And I think we can all really relate to that, especially with our forever person, you could say, your spouse or whoever. Things just like perfectly line up so you can be with that person and meet that person. And if there's one slight thing that changes, you might not have met each other, but he's just like going on about how he's grateful for everything that he had to go through because it mm-hmm. brought him to Irene.
I have to say, at the end of the tandem read, Kale and Irene are probably my favorite couple right now.
I was just going to say that.
Which is wild.
Like, why did I like them better than Roland?
Literally. And I think there's ebbs and flows with who your favorite couple is. And
yeah.
Maybe we'll love Dorian and Manon more and Kingdom of Ash, but...
But I think it's that, like, new relationship spark
and
thing.
Their relationship is so tender.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. And just so much, like, depth. And they really discover a lot about each other in mm-hmm. such a short period of time. These books mm-hmm. were so long, but they really do take place in a short period of time. And then we get to the very, very end of the book, and it gets you excited for Kingdom of yes. Ash.
And we've started Kingdom of Ash. That is probably the largest book I'll ever read in my life.
Yeah, it's long. It's not quite 1,000 pages, but it's close.
But
it's massive, especially the hardcover. Whew.
We did it.
It's a big boy.
Okay, we did it. That was our tandem read notes.
Yes.
I love just the best. Tandem read all the way.
Highly recommend the tandem
Please,
read.
If you're listening to this and you've read these books and you've read the tandem read or you read them separately, just please reach out to us. We need to talk about it.
Yeah, we do.
I want to know if you guys liked Tower of Dawn as much as we did, because it felt like nobody else
going into it. Everyone was like, oh, that book, I didn't like it, but I liked it. And when I see people rating Sarah J. Maas books, they actually do rate both of these books pretty high, but some people hated Tower of Dawn.
Real quick before we wrap up, what book did you like better, Empire of Storms or Tower of Dawn?
Probably Empire of Storms.
Yeah.
Just because there was so much more.
Yeah.
Like, so many more storylines.
There's so much that happened in Empire of Storms. The romance was maybe better in Tower of Dawn. The storyline was maybe better in Empire of Storms.
Yeah. Like, the slow burn romance. But okay. I did not like the Nesrin and Sartak.
Those were a little boring.
Aspect of it.
Somebody said, I was watching another recap video. Someone said Tower of Dawn was supposed to be a novella about Kale.
Oh, I think I heard that too.
And it ended up being a full book. And I'm here for it.
I think I have a feeling that that's going to happen with some future ACOTAR books. Because
I hope so.
Sarah J. Maas is like, yeah, I'm writing, I think, 3 more books,
There's
she said.
Way too many characters in ACOTAR and that then, I need like, a break-off book for.
Yeah, some novellas. But then she's like, maybe those will turn into full novels. So
yeah,
I really, Love really that. Hope they do. I Love. Would read ACOTAR for the rest of my life every single day.
All right,
thanks for listening. We Kay. Love you guys. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at eb.pod. Like and subscribe. Like please and give subscribe. Us a rating and review. It helps us a lot. And if you enjoyed this episode, post about it on
thanks
your
for
story
coming to book club. We
yes.
love you.
Tell
we
your
love
friends
reading.
And family.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.